Well, we come now to our Bible reading, and our Bible reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. It says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you this morning. If you're visiting, if you haven't met me before, my name is Dilan Jaisingh. I'm one of the pastors here. And before we get to our couple of baptisms later in the service, I'm going to look at that passage that we just read, thinking about baptism a little bit. So allow me to pray before we start. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be here. And thank you for your word we've just read. And Father, we pray, please speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that we may know you and we may obey your word as you call us to. So we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you would have heard this story somewhere. Probably you heard it here because I've used this story before about little Johnny. Little Johnny was one day playing with his cat. He was playing church. And he was preaching to this cat. And the cat was listening carefully. And the mother saw this and she walked away thinking, oh, it's not going to be any issues. So she went away doing her own work. And a little while later, she heard this meowing and hissing. And she ran to the window and asked, like, just check what's happening here. And to see the little Johnny is trying to drown the cat in a tub of water. And the mom shouted, Johnny, stop that. Stop doing that. What are you doing? And he replied, well, I'm trying to baptize the cat. And mom said, well, don't you know a cat is afraid of water? And he replied back saying, well, he should have thought about it before he joined my church. Now, we've checked this morning with Grace and Eileen. They're okay with water. They're okay to go under the water because that's what we're going to do later as a symbol of baptism. We're going to not drown them. We're going to put them underwater and bring them back. But baptism is not something the Baptist Church invented, okay? In the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find John the Baptizer who baptized people in the River Jordan. And before baptizing them, he asked people to repent or turn around or stop living the way you're living right now. Stop doing the wrong things and start doing the right things. Start obeying God. And then John kind of dunked people, I can imagine, in the water and brought them up in front of people to show what they have done. And although Jesus, he hasn't done anything to turn back to God, he hasn't done anything wrong, but he got baptized to say, well, I belong to Jesus, I belong to God. To show that decision that he is obeying God, he got baptized by John as well. Later in, at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus commanded the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything what I have commanded you. And so we see the storybook of the first church, the book of Acts in the Bible. People are being baptized. In Acts chapter 2, one day Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he stood in front of this great crowd and he preached the good news of Jesus. And people repented and they believed in Jesus, and we are told 3,000 of them were added to the church after being baptized. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we see Philip, one of the other disciples of Jesus, he goes to a town in Samaria, and then he tells the good news of Jesus, and people believe, and they get baptized. And we find in Acts chapter 10, an Italian general, commander, he and his whole family hears the good news of Jesus, and they get baptized. You see, a person's conversion or becoming a Christian and being baptized goes together. Now, baptism is not a ritual that makes a person a Christian. It's not a thing that saves a person from hell. It doesn't wash our sins away. Only faith or believing in Jesus alone can make a person a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Only faith in Jesus forgives their sins. And that's why we call baptism believer's baptism. And that's why we don't baptize infants or little children. Because we baptize people who are adults, who can understand what sin is and who can repent. We baptize people who are adult enough to understand and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. When a person being baptized, they tell the watching crowd what happened when they believed in Jesus. So the passage that John Joe read earlier, it is from a book in the Bible called the Book of Romans. It is written by the Apostle Paul to a group of baptized Christians in Rome about 2,000 years ago. And some of these baptized Christians have started off well, but they have begun to drift away. They've begun to go back to their old ways of living, or begun to go back to their sinful ways. And they were kind of making this argument. See, if God is showing mercy to sinful people, if God is kind to sinful people, then maybe we should sin more so we can get God's grace more for us, God's kindness more for us. And Paul tells them, by no means, guys. By no means. It's kind of saying, are you out of your mind? How can we live in sin when you died to sin? If you are no longer alive to sin, how can you live in sin? So to explain this, he takes this group of people that he's writing to, he takes them back to their baptism. In verses 3 and 4, and he reminds them, and us, who's reading this, what we publicly proclaimed or displayed when we got baptized. He asked them, don't you know, don't you understand that when we were baptized, It was a symbolic act of three things. That we died with Jesus, we were buried with Jesus, and we rose back with Jesus. We were raised back to life with Jesus. And this is what happens when a person becomes a Christian. A death, a burial, and a resurrection. We're going to briefly look at these three. The first thing when someone becomes a Christian is there is a death. We die with Jesus. We read in the New Testament that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Now, he didn't die because he had done anything wrong. He was perfectly sinless, even though he was just like us in every way. He was tempted like us in every way, but he was without sin. But why did he die? He became our substitute. He became our substitute. He took the penalty or the punishment that our sin deserves. The penalty or the punishment for our sin is death. So in other words, Jesus died in our place. He died the death that we should have died. Here in verse 3, Paul says, we were baptized into his death. Verse 5, we've been united like him in his death. Verse 8, we died with Christ. And if you glance through these first 14 verses of this chapter, Paul uses the word death 13 times. You died to sin. You died. Death, 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 died. It's kind of, he wants to hammer the point. When you became a Christian, guys, there was a funeral. There was a death. In a mysterious way, but in a real sense. When Jesus died, you died. What does that mean? That means our old nature, which ignored God, which didn't believe in God, which didn't take God seriously, the old sinful self, our old self that rebelled against God and said, I know what to do, I don't want you, this person died. He died with Jesus. And when someone is baptized, that's the first thing they tell us, isn't it? When I believed in Jesus, my old self died with Jesus. It is now crucified with Jesus. I stopped living the way I lived before. And the second thing that happens when a person becomes a Christian is there is a burial. There is a burial. That's the one I wanted. Now, last year, one of the significant things that happened in the world was the death of Queen Elizabeth II, isn't it? You'd have seen, it was all over the news. We had live roving coverage where her coffin, her casket was taken around the streets, and then it was kept in the palace for a few days for people to come and pay their last respects. And until the coffin was there with the crown and the scepter and the orb, people felt, in some sense, that she's still there. Right? But then, after a few days, when the coffin was buried or laid to rest, everyone left. And there was this, okay, she's no more. She's gone. We won't see her again. She's not going to come back again. And when you bury the body of someone, everyone goes home. Life returns to normal. Because we know they're not going to come back. Burial kind of seals the deal, isn't it? It kind of confirms that the person is really dead. There is this complete separation. In verse 6, Paul says, the body of sin that was under the influence of sin is done away with. It is completely made powerless. Paul continues, if anyone died, that person has been freed from sin. What it means is, before we believed in Jesus, by default we sinned, we didn't believe in God, we didn't feel bad when we did something wrong, we were insensitive to sin. Now that we believed in Jesus, we are freed from that old self. There is a separation. It has no power over us. So when these ladies get baptized a bit later in the service today, you will see that they go underwater fully for a certain time. As long as I feel they need to be underwater, they'll be under there. But then we'll bring them back a bit later. But it is to signal that there was a burial. What happened to them when they believed in Jesus? That they not only died with Jesus, but they were buried with Jesus. And it sealed their death. It confirms their death. A death, a burial, and finally there is a resurrection. They're raised with Jesus. In verse 4, Paul says, we were buried with Jesus through baptism into his death. In order that, just as he was raised back to life from dead through the power of God, we too may live or be raised to a new life. Later on in verse 5, we hear the same thing. In verse 8, we hear the same thing, don't we? We are united with his death. And now we are united with his resurrection. If we died with Christ, we'll be raised to life with Christ. Now, Paul could mean two things here. First, he might be talking about the physical resurrection that all the believers, we look forward to. Because we will all one day die. We will stop breathing. But one day, those who believe in Jesus will be raised back to life when Jesus returns with new physical bodies. So Paul could be talking about this. But he's also talking about what happens now? The new life that a Christian has now, that we've let go of our old self in our death and our burial, now we have been given a new life. We've made a new creation, a new life which we live for God. Sin's rule over us is gone, and Father's rule over us has begun. Slavery to sin is ended and become slaves to righteousness. Now, this doesn't mean, friends, that Christians don't sin anymore. Ask any baptized Christians, we all sin. We all get tempted. We do it every day, and that's why Jesus was so kind enough to add a prayer of forgiveness into the Lord's Prayer. What it means is we no longer enjoy sin. We don't delight in disobeying God's word. We try to avoid situations that might put us or draw us away from God and cause us to sin. And when we've done something wrong, we are super sensitive of sin and we realize that we've broken God's law. And we take confession of sins seriously. We repent and confess before God. If you think about it, friends, we are unique, aren't we? We are dead and alive at the same time. We are dead to sin, alive to God. The persons who will be plunged into the waters, they don't remain there, but they come back up, emerging from the water to say, well, you know what, I was dead, but I am alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The old is gone, the new has come. And you will notice another thing as we baptize these two ladies or any baptism. It's not self-baptism, right? You don't see one of these ladies go there and dip themselves and come up. No, the pastor assists. I think in that itself there is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture of how a person becomes a Christian. We don't do anything to save ourselves. It's all what God does. So when we are being baptized, we testify it is all God's work. I didn't do anything. It was God's grace. God sacrificed Jesus for me and he allowed me to die with Jesus. God buried my old life with Jesus and God raised me up with Jesus to a new life. So in verses 11 to 14, Paul goes on to say, guys, think about your baptism. Now that you've been given a new life, don't allow sin to reign in your bodies again. Don't go back to your old ways of living. Don't give way to sin. Resist. Count yourself dead to sin, alive to God. Count yourself dead. Don't offer yourself your body to sin. Don't let sin be your master. No, allow God to be your Lord. Allow Jesus to be your new Lord. When temptations come, when doubts come, when old habits return, Paul is telling the Christians, remember your baptism. I died with Jesus. I was buried with Jesus. Now I have new life with Jesus. A death, a burial, a resurrection. And this is what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? A death, a burial, and a resurrection. Now when Grace and Eileen and they're going to get baptized, this is not the day that they are becoming Christians. You'll hear their stories in a little while. They believed in Jesus some time ago. Grace, 8 years ago, she will tell the story. She started believing, having that journey. What they're doing today is they publicly tell you that they have believed in Jesus and they have become followers of Jesus. That a death and a burial and a resurrection has happened in their life. A death and a burial and a resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for the whole world, especially as we look around, as we live in a world that is so moving against you. We thank you that you are calling people to you. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. That when a person believes in Jesus, Lord, our old self that rejected you is forgiven. And we are accepted into your presence and we've become friends. No longer enemies with you, but friends. Children belonging to a heavenly Father. So, Father, we thank you for this great good message. And Lord, as we think about it, as we put this into practice, help us, those of us who have believed in Jesus, to continue to live a life that is alive to you, dead to sin. Show us how to do that, Father, we pray through your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.